Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Financial Intelligence. That's right. Welcome to Financial Intelligence, where we critique and analyze. What do we critique and analyze? We critique financial concepts, business models, cash flow, passive income, and my favorite, the financial mindset. That's right. And why do we critique these things? We critique and analyze not just for an exercise in futility. We critique and analyze so that you, the listener, the participant, can flip and apply it to your life, apply it to your business acumen. It requires application, because without application, it's just a waste of time. So that's what we're here for. That's why we follow the 10-90 rule. The 10-90 rule says if you study for 10 minutes, you should be busy for 90. If you study for 10 days, you should be executing for 90 days. That's right, because application is the bottom line. And today on my show, I have as a guest someone who I call the madman of business application, Dr. Financial Dre, the doctor of application. Yes, I would like to welcome to our show, Mr. Andre C. Hatchett. Welcome, my brother.
What's up, brother? I love that name, the madman. What's up, world? What's up, brother Stevie? Honored to be here, leader, your friend, colleague, mentor, mentee, student, and all around great human being that you are, man. Thank you for having me.
Hey, thank you so much, my brother. Thank you. This is we vibe, you know, greatly, you know, and that enthusiasm, we can just, it goes back and forth. It's something I've learned is that we actually have an unlimited supply of enthusiasm. It may wane here and there, but it always comes back. So in that way, I mean, we are indefatigable. I mean, just look at this. Here you are. You're an entrepreneur. You're a philanthropist. You're the owner of the Black Real Estate School. You're the owner of Andre's Notary School, the Notary Business School. You're the co-founder of Buy Black New York City, NYC. And I tell you, there's one thing I think about you, my brother, is that if you hear about a business model for more than 10 minutes, you're already building a website.
Seriously.
So look, my brother, if you could give our people a little bit of background about you, you know, a little bit about you personally, if you could share some information with us.
So again, Andre C. Hatchett here. So I am 35 of Jamaican descent. So most of my time in the New York area, Westchester County. I've been staying in Dallas and Atlanta a lot for the past 2 years. I'm a hardcore entrepreneur, hardcore Black, as I say, actionist, not activist, actionist. And I try to merge the two together whenever I can. And primarily in terms of teaching, the past 2 years has gone very well for me. I've had a whole lot of positive feedback from my students. Have a couple of books out now, which I'm really proud of. And I'm just all in for our people, African Black people, and all in on entrepreneurship.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I could see that, you know, and realize that. And like I said, man, I wasn't joking about that, man. You are like the quickest draw, you know, at the gun, man. When you get the concept, when you get a business concept, you get a business idea, you not only execute the business, right, like with your notary business or with your real estate business, okay, but what you do is you go beyond that feature and you open up a whole nother dimension and you begin to teach others, and that creates a whole nother stream of income. So can you reveal to us what's the dynamic behind that, man? How do you do that?
Well, what I do is something that I just spoke about before we got on the call, is I overact and I underthink. And most people, they do the opposite, especially people who have high IQs. Maybe they're just book smart. Maybe they're really savvy in terms of acquiring college degrees. But people with a high IQ, they generally, they think a lot because they're used to complicated math problems and funky physics problems and chemistry. I was never good at any of that stuff. And come to my realization later on in life, it actually serves me good because I just had to overcompensate for not knowing that stuff well with my actions being very well, with my follow-through being very well. So I implement things on the web. I implement things on a landing page. I implement things in a Word or PDF doc. And if I hear about something that can be profitable, if I think of something that can be profitable, I'm immediately – so I don't go the whole business plan route anymore usually. I go the landing page route or the website route where I see it, and I build it, and I see it, and I add to it, and I distract from it because it allows you to come to market faster that way. And now it's all about speed to market and figuring out the rest as you go along, and that's what I do.
Interesting, interesting. Now, can you give us a little bit of knowledge or wherewithal about the difference? Because you said instead of you going the business plan route, you go the landing page route. Now, could you explain a little bit about that? Because, you know, you're also an author. You have a book. You also have a T-shirt business, an online T-shirt business.
Yeah.
So can you talk to us about this landing page approach that you use as opposed – because evidently this is not the traditional business model, because that's another thing which I admire about you is that you see business models and you try to implement models as opposed to just trying to be in business. So could you tell us a little bit about that approach that you have?
Yeah. So when you have a model or when you create a model, what you do is you set yourself slightly apart from other people who are doing things in the entrepreneurial space. And you don't have to be totally different. All you have to do is be slightly different. Just have a slightly different edge on it. So with landing pages, are basically mini websites. But here's the thing with landing pages. They could be really good, and they can be built for really cheap. And you can edit them. You can update them. It's like a phenomenal world, which I found out about. I was like, oh, this is really cool. So for my book tour, I could have spent $600 on a website, but I have a landing page account. I have a lead pages account, which allows you to build landing pages. And I pay, I think it's $70 a month. And I can have 20, 30, 40, 50. And I can build one for a particular promotion that I'm offering for the notary school. I could build one for the book tour. I could build one selling the books. Learn to implement that strategy with my marketing. And again, lower cost, faster to market approach. And I've been running with it, and it's been a great, great look. We should do like another whole session on landing pages and clay funnels at a later date. So with closing line that you asked, that we talked about before, so I found out something called the drop shipping. So I always enjoyed creating my own stuff and seeing what I was able to create, but I wasn't in love with going to the post office. So with my books that I sell, I use a platform called CreateSpace. So everybody check the write it down, CreateSpace. Now, they can send you the books, and you have the physical copies on you at all times, and you go around and selling them. Or you can have people go to your CreateSpace account or your Amazon account, and they send out the books for you. So with my endeavors, I have always tried to think of ways that I can create these products, these things that I can sell without me physically having to be there, Stevie, because if you have to physically be there, you're limited to how much money you can make. If you don't have to physically be there, you are unlimited to how much money you can make. You can promote it, have other people promote it for you, however the case may be. And I never want to be boxed in. I always want to be limitless, not limited.
Excellent. Excellent. So I could see you got the idea, the model of using the landing pages, the model of using CreateSpace for your books. Now, I've also heard the word on the street is that you're working on a movie as well.
Yes,
I forgot about that. I am working on a movie, yes.
What's up with that?
You know, it's really cool, man. So I see things and I'm like, yo, that's really cool. I want to do it. So I saw Dr. Boyce Watkins, mentor, friend, advisor, business partner. He created a film called Black Wall Street, The Resurrection of Black Wall Street. I saw my man Rick Mathis create the film Black Friday, the movie, which I'm actually going to be in the next one, Stevie, which would be really cool. I saw Tariq do the Head and Color thing, and I'm like, wow, like, these movies are so great, and they live on forever. You have a great book, especially a movie, that thing never dies. It, like, never dies. So I was like, man, I want to create a movie. So we shot the trailer, and now, actually, this fall, we're going to be wrapping it up, and it will be coming out around January, February 2018. It's called Own or Be Owned. The values will go up with or without you. Own or Be Owned, the values, like the property values, they will go up with or without you. And our focus is real estate and emerging markets, so we're not crying about gentrification after the fact. In our community, we're oftentimes we are reactive, but we're not proactive. We're reactive, but we're not proactive. And I just want to just encourage us to get ahead of the ball before we're priced out and we have to go around begging for opportunities.
Exactly. Now, I admire now this concept that you have used that I want you to talk about here is this concept of own or be owned. Based on that concept, you have a book. Based on that concept and that saying, you have a line of t-shirts. I saw you also coming out with a winter shirt, right? A shirt for the fall and for the winter. I also saw that. And you have, right? So I see you haven't like lost your momentum. You know what I'm saying? It's brilliant the way you're taking advantage of all the different opportunities that are there, different seasons, different formats. So you're taking that one concept of own or be owned. You've written a book, Own or Be Owned. You have a t-shirt line and a clothing, somewhat of a semi-clothing line based on that concept. You have a movie based on that concept. So what I want to know is, how'd you come up with that concept of own or be owned? And can you express exactly what that concept is all about?
Yeah. So here's what I want to touch on first before that I forget my point. So everything you just named, so there are different streams of income. Streams come from generally different places, but there's branches. So what I did was I said, okay, like people like the book. People like the clothing. Let me keep this whole branch going where it's one centralized thing, but there are different branches that can produce income for you from that one thing. And that's where we have the own or be owned concept. So I've been saying it for, I think it's been 3 or 4 years, and it just became a trademark. And I said it to a friend, and he said, yo, Jay, like, that's your thing. Like, that's your trademark. That's your. I was like, it is, isn't it? I was like, yeah. So I just kept running with it. No need to overthink something that works. If people say it works and it feels good, go with it. So I kept rocking it out. And I put the book concept together for it first because I was like, I'm gonna get these words. I'm gonna get these thoughts out on paper first, and then I'm gonna dissect the other opportunities. And I came up with the concept, Stevie, and our people out there, because oftentimes our frustration comes from lack of ownership. Our boss being racist, the landlord raising up the rent, us being able to not get a job because we have a criminal record, even though it's friggin' 20 years old, which is total crap. And I was like, so your problem is, or our biggest problem is, the majority of the times it's being owned. So I said, own, you don't have to worry about being owned. You're in the driver's seat. There are other obstacles that come with it, But it sure as hell beats being told no by other people because they just feel like telling you no. So I just had the concept that if you own, you don't have to be owned, and you're in the driver's seat, and you don't care about what your neighbors are doing to their or the stadium that you've got from being built, but you own a house that's two blocks from the new stadium, so your values will increase, and so will your cousins, and so will your friends, because you guys own that three-unit home. So that's the concept that I've been running with, and I built the branches, not the streams of income, but the branches from a tree to spare off from it, and it's been working.
Absolutely. It's definitely working. I could see that. You know, I'm looking at your bank account per se, but evidently it's working. Because you know what I'm saying? I could see the momentum. I could see that you are exhibiting momentum from the concept. As opposed, I mean, sometimes a person comes out with a business idea and it just dies away. You know, not everything works. You know?
Yeah, very
but,
true.
You know, and that in itself is a great obstacle to many people because they think that, well, what if it doesn't work? Maybe it won't work. Now, Dre, we could see a lot of your concepts that have worked. Can you speak of some ideas that you've had that didn't work?
Yeah, good question. So I've been on a good run lately. Yeah, this is going to sound really arrogant. I don't know something that didn't work.
Wow.
So here's something else about me, Steve. Like, I'll wait 5 or 6 years for something to work if I really believe in it. So I'll tell you a concept that failed a few times, but I finally got it right. So I have a directory for notaries to advertise on. I have literally been working on this thing for 7 years. Don't ask me why or how. Literally, I was 28 when I first started, me and a friend. He got bored with it. He got out of the project. So it's basically a directory for notaries to advertise on my platform, and they pay me a yearly or monthly fee, and they promote their services on the platform. So there are other companies who have been doing who are the staples in the industry for a number of years. I said, I can get a better website than they can. And the first few stunk. They stunk. They were really crappy. They didn't work. Functions didn't work. And I was just, like, really frustrated, really pissed off because I had so much. 4 times. I spent, like, thousands of dollars on it with different developers, and it just didn't work. But I now – finally, after 7 years, was able to launch 4 name pages, totally different patterns, but it's alive. So I just have that thing that if I believe in it, I go hardcore at it, and I'll just wait up until it works. But I haven't had something that bombed in a really long time, but I'll think about it.
Excellent. And also, I want you to keep in mind that as we move closer towards the end of the show, that if you have some secrets, some dirty little business secrets or dirty little secrets about how you could stay on the path, how you could keep that tenacity, how you could face the opposition and the possibility of failure and making mistakes and overcoming, I want you to reveal some of those later on, okay? Some of the low down, some of the low down and dirty.
Right.
Now let me ask you this now, because you are a real estate investor, correct, sir?
Yep, I am.
How long have you been investing, and how did you get started in real estate business?
Great question. Oh, I have some properties that failed. Okay, got it. That's something that failed. I'm glad you brought that up. So I started investing in real estate when I was 22 years old. So 13 years ago, I was 22. And I did it because the whole owner be on concept. I didn't have that phrase or that tagline then. But on a real one-on-one basic level, my dad said something to me. Everybody in my family calls me Andy. So he said, Andy, if you live in an apartment and you pay your rent on time, you do everything right by the landlord, for 30 years, you still never own that apartment. If you have a one-bedroom condo, a studio, no bedroom, 500-square-foot condo that you pay on for 30 years or 15 or 10, after that, you never have to make another mortgage payment on that property if you don't want to. If you don't refinance it or borrow money out. But if you have one mortgage on the property, you pay it on time, you're done. Your kids can live in it. Your nieces can live in it. You can rent it out. You never have to make another mortgage payment ever. But if it's rent, it can be 30 years, 50 years, 100 years, you're still paying on that thing. So on a one-on-one level, I said, oh, hell no. I don't want to be involved in that. It's a losing battle. You're going to freaking lose, and everyone else is going to win. So when I was 19, I started reading Rich Dad, Poor Dad, one of the first books I've ever read from beginning to end. And I saved, like, damn near everything I made for 2 years, like 70%.
Wow.
I saved. Like, I had no, very, very little social life. I had a car that died. I was taking the bus. My friends, like, they, most of them had really nice cars. I just didn't want to. I knew that I couldn't do both, which is when you have to decide if you're going to practice delayed gratification or not. Are you going to get some stuff up or not? And I said, can't let this bus stink. So I'm early 20s. I mean, my credit score was through the roof, 740, 720, like really freaking high. I had freaking 10 grand in a freaking savings account. But I was like, no, I knew that I couldn't do both. And I knew that it was going to be the car or me having a social life or me getting the place. So I practiced delayed gratification, and I got my first place when I was 22.
Wow. So now you got your first place. That's a condo. That was a studio condo?
Yeah. It's a co-op in New York, but similar to a condominium, yeah.
Is that in Brooklyn?
It's in Yonkers.
In Yonkers, okay. Now, so from there, now, because now you're an owner, but this is your own property that you own, right? It's your own home. So but then how did you dive into becoming an investor whereby you're owning homes that other people live in?
Yep. So here's what I did was I got a property with an aunt of mine in the state of Georgia, brand new construction townhome in Decatur, Georgia, 3 bedrooms, 2.5 bathroom. We got that together as an investment property, out-of-state investment property. That was at 23. When I was still on the bus at that time.
You made the sacrifice. I see. This is the formula, man. Your formula so far, your formula has been sacrifice, delayed gratification, and a plan and a vision and a goal on your own. Well, we could see where the concept was born, right? Right? Own or be owned. It was actually born out of your actual action. You put it to action. What you said, you call yourself an actionvist?
Actionvist. You got it, brother. Actionvist.
An actionvist instead of an activist. An actionvist. Okay, so I guess that's the beginning of your real estate empire right there. So now you could just proceed on into the future, just up from the properties that you have acquired at this point, you could just continue increasing your portfolio, can you not?
I could have, but I got ahead of myself, and I made bad investments after that. I was on a hot streak, and
okay.
I made bad investments, Stevie. So that was your question earlier that I didn't have the answer for. That was
right.
A big failure that was like, oh, my God, this was really bad. So I got some bad investment properties. I was scammed, and I was too anxious and greedy on my part. So I had a family member, him and some of his cohorts, they were part of the 2005, 2006, the whole mortgage crisis thing where people
yes.
were inflating properties. They said that they would cost, that they were worth more than they were. They were in with the appraisers, the loan officers. And I got these properties because my credit was so good, and I had some cash in the bank. I got these properties, Stevie, and I couldn't rent some out. And the other ones that I could rent out, I was getting like half of what the mortgage payments were. And for anyone who's getting involved in real estate, you always want to be cash flow positive with your homes, right? Like that's 101. Even if it's $50 or $25 or $200, you want to make sure your monthly rental income will at least cover your mortgage, tax, and insurance. So I had three properties, three more that I got. I lost them all. I was devastated. I hated real estate. I hated my stupid-ass cousin. And I was just pissed. I was pissed at myself for being over-anxious and not looking for the signs and allowing greed and ignorance and ego to get in the way, because if I would have used more common sense, I would have consulted with an outside party, which is something that we talked about at the end of our call about Nuggets. I would have consulted with an outside party, and I would have got third-party advice to compare to what I was working on. So that was a rough few years, and Chapter 7, bankruptcy, lost all my savings, and really lost my momentum, which really took some years off of my growth, because I was just really just not myself.
Wow, that's I'm sure, and you know what I see in that is like the emotional devastation that comes along with that, you know.
That's probably why I forgot about it. Because
it's something which I realize is that as I move forward in my business, in my relationships and so forth, I naturally become emotionally attached to those things, even though it's not conscious. I don't think about it, but I've actually become emotionally attached. And if you remove those things from me, dude, I might cry like a baby, but I'm not thinking like that, you know, and I'm not thinking ahead. And like you said, when it comes down to greed and ego, you know, we lose our balance, you know, and then, hey, things can crash. But, you know, you mentioned Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Robert Kiyosaki had a similar experience. You remember one of his businesses, his multi-million dollar business went under. That baby went under because he did. It was his the wallet business he had with the Velcro wallets, but he made the fatal mistake of not getting the patents and the trademarks for his business, and someone else came in right behind him and just swept them right out. You know, so that severe loss was there. But I see you rebounded. You bounced back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man. So I had a crappy couple of years, so let's say 25 to 26, 27, and I got my real estate license. I realized I wasn't mad at real estate, or I stopped being mad at real estate, and I got my real estate license. So then I started selling properties. So
okay. You became an agent.
I became an agent. Became an agent. Yep. And that was cool. I had selling real estate as an agent is the toughest business I've ever been a part of. And I've had that business is so friggin' tough. Like the highs and the lows are so friggin' extreme. So
really?
I 27 till 33, learned a lot, got some tenacity, got some negotiation skills, and I closed some deals out here in New York.
Excellent. 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 So there's lessons, man. There's a lot of lessons. Just like when I was first opening the show, you know, the thing that I emphasize in that, you know, and which you also emphasize is application of the knowledge and of the information. Application is the most important ingredient, you know, of anything. If you don't apply it, it's valueless, it's powerless, it has no benefit. But so even though you went through those highs and those lows, the fact that you were applying, it gave you a momentum. And like you said, now you're on a whole nother momentum of successes, a long line of successes, you know, successful business.
Yeah.
In the beginning, you couldn't even think of a failure that you had, you know what I'm saying? You're like,
I've had a good run. I've had a good run, but what was the real? I was like, y'all get that was the one. Yep, that was a setback.
So tell me this: from that setback and from your rebound, what would you say is one a couple of the valuable lessons that you learned? Now that you're back,
admit when you. Oh, this is a good one. Admit when you failed and how you failed as soon as possible. You can call it a fail, you can call it a bomb, call it learners, whatever you want. But when, so this all happened in 2006 or 7. I should have filed Chapter 7 right away. I waited like 3 years. But if I would have done it right then, I would have had it back on track 3 years earlier. But
okay.
I was just mad. It didn't make any sense. Get it out the way earlier. You bombed. This didn't work out. Sometimes it can be salvaged. Sometimes it just has to be scrapped and it just has to go. This is one of those times where it just has to go because it made no sense in any logical manner. So if I would have admitted that to myself earlier on, I would have been 3 years in back on my feet financially, credit-wise, and been back in the game sooner. But I didn't want to admit it. I didn't want to admit it to myself. I was hurt. I was angry. Felt misguided. And it just was an immature move on my part. So that's something that I really wish I would have done differently.
Excellent. Excellent. Those are lessons, valuable lessons. And all those key words that you use, like greed, ego, denial, anger, frustration, you know, really don't help. We definitely need to get over those negative emotions as soon as possible. I mean, we are human, so we're going to feel it. But one of the things that I like to remember about those negative emotions and those feelings are that they are only feelings. It's just a feeling. You know what I'm saying? It's just a feeling.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, the tendency is for us to take it out of context. It's just like with fear, for instance, which I would like you to address, because to do many of the things you did, I'm sure there had to be apprehension. There had to be fear. Even if we bring it up to date to some of the businesses that you're doing now, I'm sure that some degree of fear is there. Like, since you did experience a failure, that memory is still there. So it's like, how do you proceed? How do you overcome fear? Can you speak to that?
Great question. Well, for me, even to be doing this podcast with you, I had to overcome fear because I stutter. And I used to stutter more than I do, and it used to bother me more than it does. Well, now I don't even care. I don't even think about it unless I'm talking about it. So when I started speaking and all this public work, these Facebook Live videos, which I just did, and YouTube, and becoming, I guess you could call it a brand per se, I had to be public to do these things. So I overcame my stuttering habit. And I had friends who have known me since I was teens and early 20s. They were like, yeah, Chris, how did you stop? How did you overcome? And I didn't even realize it, but I just stopped thinking about it. I just stopped thinking of my stuttering shortcoming or what I allowed to be a shortcoming, and I just ran with it. So I allowed the goal overcome the fear. So what you have to do is you have to have goals that outweigh your fear and outweigh your scarcity and outweigh your BS. If your goals and plans are big enough, you will subconsciously shrink those fears and shortcomings, and they'll just be out of your mind.
Interesting that you use the word subconsciously, because I'm reading a book now, which I read before, but I'm reading it again. Actually, Dre, I think I sent it to you as well, but it's a book called The Power of the Subconscious Mind.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an exhibition of that fact that you had an obstacle in front of you that could have definitely knocked you down, period. because you're, like you said, you are now you're a speaker. You are a paid speaker. You know what I'm saying? You actually, people pay you to speak. But your obstacle was related to speech, and you were able to overcome it. You overcame it. And like you said, subconsciously, because you accepted that what you wanted and needed to do and were going to do was greater than your fear of that thing, the thing just had to back down. It had to back away and recede into the background. Otherwise, you could, that was the perfect excuse for you to give up. It's like, hey, I would, but I can't.
It has to be it has to be bigger than myself. The only way I could do it was if my goals and plans were bigger than myself. Only way I could do it. And if your goals and plans are bigger than yourself, then you can overcome your own BS and make a name for yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I also, in relating to the subconscious, as you're saying, when your goals and your plans are bigger than your fears, it activates your subconscious. You know what I'm saying? And it removes all the obstacles out of your way, whatever obstacles are there. That's the inner power that we have, you know, that you're tapping into, that many of us are tapping into, and that we want our entire community to, everybody has it. We all got our unique, you know, problems, inadequacies, abilities, embarrassments, shortcomings, whatever you want to call them. We all have them. We all have them. And we can all overcome them by that formula. That formula. And I really appreciate, thank you for sharing that, you know. Thank you very much for sharing that. That's a very personal thing. That's very personal.
And you got to hate where you are in life as well. So that's another motivational factor. You don't have to love where, you don't have to love what you're doing. Or love what you're, or love where you're going per se. But you do, if you don't do that, you gotta hate where you currently are, and that could be another motivation to get you off of whatever is holding you back. It could, which I kind of don't like when people say you have to be passionate. I think the word is overused. Hating where you are is enough of a motivator for you to have strong like for the future. Strong like is sometimes all you need to hit another level of life.
This word passion is very, very, it's bounced around a great deal now. That's like,
oh yeah,
you know, it's like everything is about passion, passion. Oh, you gotta be passionate for what you do. You gotta do what you love, do what you love. Blah, 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 blah. And I mean, I understand that concept, but I also look at it that if this thing that I'm doing right now is going to help me reach my goal, I don't really have to be passionate about that thing. I need to be passionate about the goal.
Okay? Exactly. And Steve, also, when you build something, you get so much fulfillment from that. Even if you're not in love with what you built, the fulfillment from building something brings about passion.
How about that? Exactly. So it keeps that into perspective, because I think there another obstacle, another difficulty that some entrepreneurs or aspiring entrepreneurs face when I speak to them is that they limit what they will do to what they are passionate about. Like, I will only do it if I'm passionate about it. I'm only going to do what I love. And though I understand that concept, I still think it's incomplete. It's incomplete. Because if, for instance, if that was your philosophy, that you will only do what you love to do, you wouldn't be where you are right now, Dre.
Yeah, man. Oh, it's misguided. You have to. No. Success brings about joy and fulfillment. Being able to take a woman out on a date from a job you might have somewhat liked just okay. Like, it went okay. You made enough money from that business. You didn't love it, you didn't hate it. It was just okay. The drive there, the wait time, it was all okay. But the date might be, this is phenomenal. Passion can come about at a later date. But you have to do something to get ahead. Do the thing to get there. So I hate when people say it. It bothers me because it's not needed. I do think you will have a higher quality of life if you do have it, but you by no means need it. And some people, Stevie, in the audience, they never have it. That's just not their makeup. They're just an even-keeled, go-with-the-flow, advanced kind of person, and they're more practical. Do what works for you. If it works for you, it works for you. Don't let other people brainwash you and to be thinking that you are wired the same as them, because you aren't.
How about that? How about that? And that's again, it gets back to what we're talking about with the application. Because if we're talking about application, then it becomes also very individual, because we're all individuals. So how we apply the knowledge, how we apply the analysis, how we apply the experience is also going to be individual and unique, because we're not all going to do it the same. But as long as we are moving, we are motivated to move towards our goals and our objectives to become owners instead of being owned. I mean, I think that's a pretty universal concept, especially, I mean, you could take that concept all the way back to slavery, literally. Who's owned and who's the owner? Okay. So it's time to become the owner from a psychological perspective, from an ontological perspective, from a financial perspective, from an economic perspective. It's time to become the owner. And now with being the owner, though, Dre, there comes the responsibility. Accountability.
Yeah, it's hard as hell. This thing might not work. You might be able to make more money. If I would have done like my friends had did, go get a four-year degree, graduate at 21 to 23 years old, get a graduate degree, done with that by 25, 26. By time I'm 35 now, so that would have been 10 years from now. I might have made more money doing that. I definitely wouldn't have had as many highs. Well, I probably wouldn't have had as many highs and lows doing that. I could have been a principal of a school. I could have been on Wall Street doing some hedge fund stuff and been one of those guys. So it doesn't always make sense in air quotes. But it has to make sense for you. So me looking back over the past 10 years, and 35 is a good reflection year, I'm very extremely, overwhelmingly, personally fulfilled. Like, to the umpteenth degree of personal fulfillment. So if I was able to just have some magical calculator and say, okay, like I would have had this many houses here, this much equity here, and I would have been worth this much if I would have done that, opposed to where I am now, which I'm not doing bad. And that would have been substantially worth more in terms of numbers. My personal fulfillment is unmatched. It's literally, it probably has like a $10 million valuation on it, maybe even 15, like literally, because of who I became in the process. See, I would have never met you.
How about that?
I couldn't do Facebook Live video. I would have been scared to have a company called Buy Black NYC. I couldn't run Black Men United. I couldn't do all these pro-black things, which is a huge part of my personality, because I would have been scared that the job would have gotten mad at me. So entrepreneurship, the wins, the losses, the ups and downs, is if I'm telling you this stuff and you're hearing this stuff, you're like, yeah, okay, maybe I don't need what Dre is talking about. I'm cool with the safe job, and I'll be a part-time investor or business owner. Like that, hey, that's cool. But for me, all the ups and downs, the Chapter 7, all this stuff, it's worth it for me because of who I became in the process. And I heard people mention those words before. I didn't get it. I was like, who you become? What the hell are you talking about? What do you mean? I get it now. Because you become so much of a bigger human being internally that you can't put a price tag on it. And you can't become that person unless you go through the call on the credit card company and asking them for a payment reduction or forbearance on the credit card payments for 3 months because you have friggin' no money coming in. It makes you into a man or a woman.
That is beautiful. That is beautiful. See, that is the side of becoming an entrepreneur that is not measured. No one measures that side. I mean, most people measure the financial benefits. So they say, look, how would I make more money? Will I make more money if I start my own business, or I'll make more money if I work for, you know, ABC handcuff company? Okay. So, hey, I'm going to get more benefits from ABC handcuff company. I'm going to get some health care from, you know, the handcuff company. I'm going to get some paid vacations. You know, I'm going to get all this and probably even a little bit of stature. You know, I'll be a part of something. I'll be a part of a big corporation. And I'm not going to make it, and I'll make more money. But what you just mentioned about who you become, about the character development, about your accountability, about your independence, that is immeasurable. That can't be measured. And you can make money. You can make so much money if you're willing to do what's necessary. You know, if you're willing to grind, like you're saying, it's hard as hell. It's hard as hell, and that's no joke. But my question is, because I often speak to aspiring entrepreneurs and people in general, and one of the things that they usually pump their brakes at, they say, yes, that's true, but it ain't easy. It ain't easy. And I often respond that, but is that the real question? Should it be easy or not easy? Or is the real question, is it worth it?
Bingo. Bingo. You hit it on the head, Stevie. Is it worth it for you as an individual? And there are some people, because I do private coaching a lot, and one of the things I'm fairly good at, dare I say, is I'm able to dissect people fairly easily and I'm able to help them reveal themselves to themselves. And at the end of our conversation, some people are like, yo, Dre, yeah, I'm better equipped staying where I'm at and investing in somebody like you, like loaning you $5,000 for a company or $10,000 or whatever, or like a real hardcore dedicated person, opposed to them leaving what they're doing and going all in it like we are. Or vice versa. They might say, yeah, right, like this thing is totally worth it. F this. I'm not happy anyway. I'm broke anyway. I'm out of here in 2.5 months. I'm sending my recommendation while we're on the phone. So there's no right or wrong answer. It's just what does it mean to you? Do you need to be free and be able to talk on podcasts and say whatever the hell you want to say and not to worry about a boss or a job finding out? If that's you, then buckle up for the ride.
Absolutely. Hey, Brother Drake, can you give some of your contact information? And then after you do that, I'm going to check in with some of the listeners to see if they have any questions or any comments, all right? But can you give some of your contact information?
Yep. My central website, which I spent $1,000 on, is AndreCHatchett.com. AndreCHatchett.com. All of my information is on there. My classes, my clothing line, my how to hire me for speaking events. And I say it costs $1,000 because part of what I want us to get.
Hey, Dre, are you walking?
No. Oh, you know what? It might be my fan. Let me turn off the fan. Okay. How about?
All right, yeah, that's better. I'm sorry. Could you start that over, please?
Yep. So my website, AndreCHatchett.com, it costs $1,000, and I made the point of saying that costs $1,000, not to brag, because that's not a lot of money in the grand scheme of things. But it's a lot of money on a website, for me anyway, and I did that because I wanted to set myself apart from people who were just talking entrepreneurship opposed to someone who's doing it. I built the I had a website built that when people go there, they know that this guy is serious. If I take his course, I feel comfortable investing with him because he invested in himself. I'm going to buy his books and all this stuff because he put the work into it. So I feel comfortable investing my hard-earned money into what this guy is talking about. So it's AndreCHatchett.com and Instagram, AndreCHatchett.
Excellent. Excellent. Now, I'm going to go to the callers just to check in. What I'm going to do is, caller, I'm going to mention the exchange of your phone number. Then I'm going to open your mic, and you can either ask a question or make a comment. So the first caller that I'm going to go to is 404. Is your area code 404. I'm going to open your mic now and ask you if you would like to ask a question or make a comment. Your mic is open, 404.
Hello?
Hello. Yes, we can hear you. What's your name?
Oh, hi there. My name is Crystal Lee.
Hello, Crystal Lee. Welcome. Welcome to the show.
Thank
Do you have
you.
A question
Thank
on? Yes. Do you have a question or comment for our guest, Andre C. Hatchett?
Now, I follow Andre C. Hatchett religiously. So I don't think I have any questions right about now, but I do. I'll say a comment. I just love what you're doing, Dre. Thank you so much for going through the processes and then going through them and then sharing what you've gone through. So now others are able to, you know, see what road was taken and have the necessary steps to continue to, you know, push through for their dreams. So thank you so very much for sharing all of your knowledge and wanting better for your people. Thank you so much.
I thank you for caring. How do I follow you? Am I following you?
Yes, you are. I'm following you religiously, so I know you're following me back. And
okay.
I've actually been on one of your you've introduced me to, like, so many great people. And I was actually on a video chat with you and Sean Robinson, I think that's his last name, Sean, from the Strong – yeah, from his franchise.
From college students.
Yep. Yeah. So we're good. We connect. Me and you, we connect.
Cool. I want to make sure. Well, thank you, Queen. I appreciate the love and support, and I'm glad I've been able to have a positive impact, and I'm here to do what I can.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right, Queen.
Thank you very much. Thank you for chiming in.
Okay. Thanks.
Now, the next caller, I'm going to open your mic. Your area code is 918. That's 918, and your mic is open. Do you have a question or comment for Mr. Hatchett? 918, are you there? Okay, I'm going to go to the next caller. Next caller, your area code is 803. And I just opened your mic, 803. Are you there? And do you have a question or comment for Mr. Hatchett? The 803. Okay, I'll try one more. One more. Give one more shot. And this is 313. Area code 313. Your mic is hot. Are you there?
How are you gentlemen doing?
Hey, excellent. What's up, leader?
This is Anwar from Detroit, Anwar Williams.
Yes,
hey,
sir.
Anwar.
Welcome. Welcome, sir.
Yeah, I just want to make a brief comment. I met Andre in Atlanta a few weeks ago at the Tulsa Ball event.
Yeah.
And very humble brother.
I was there, too. I was there, brother. I was there.
You were there, too?
Yeah, I was there.
Oh, okay. I didn't get a chance to meet you, bro. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. And I just have a comment and a quick question. I want to just tell everybody, man, Andre, he's everything that's advertised. I mean, the stuff that you see, his content that he has, his messages, he definitely lives that in real life, man, because I've seen it personally with my own eyes. So much respect to you, brother. Much respect.
I appreciate that, man. Thanks a lot, Leader. I appreciate those kind words.
Problem, man. I know you have owner be own. That's like one of your big messages from a real estate perspective. So what are some of like your goals, like long term, for real estate as far as like people just kind of going together? I know you're involved with Tulsa as well, but like, what is your vision for that?
Good question. So on a personal angle, I want to get some multifamily properties with my personal family members, like my brothers and my father and sisters and stuff. Over the next 3 to 5 years, I want to get a multifamily property between us 2 to 3 times a year at a bare minimum. So that's my goal with my personal family members. And I have some other projects similar to Tulsa, maybe not as elaborate, that I'm working on with some other members in our Black community, which we should be rolling out in the next 3 to 6 months. And personally, I'm probably going to be looking for some more stuff out of the country in terms of real estate. I think this country is cool, but yeah, it's a big freaking world out of here. So probably an island. Actually, I'm from an island. I'm from Jamaica. So I like the water and the breeze and stuff like that. So probably maybe some stuff in Africa or one of the islands of South America. That's probably going to be something that I'm going to be doing some more investments in. I'm probably going to be there actually the majority of the time opposed to this country, hopefully in the next year or two as well.
Sounds great. Glad to have met you in person, man. Just keep up the good work, man. Looking forward to working with you in the future, man. Enjoy the show.
Let's stay in touch.
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely.
Yeah, man. My email address, too, I'm giving everybody my, it's Andre@AndreCHatchett.com. Andre@AndreCHatchett.com. And if you go to my website, there's a contact me box where you can contact me in the box as well.
Thank you very much, my friend. Thank you for your contribution. All right, Brother Dre. Hey, we're winding down, man, winding down to the last few. And I wanted to give you a chance, about a minute or so, if you could give us some of the low down and dirty, if you got it, if you got something, some jewels that you want to drop, some gems that you want to share with all of us in this last 60 seconds or so, my friend.
It's been an hour? Oh, man.
it actually has.
Probably because me and Steve are so tight and we have so much in common, I just feel like we're just talking how we usually do. But, yeah, honored to be here. Thankful for being here. So the jewels, the things that a lot of people don't know is this. So there are a few years which we didn't discuss in my 30s, which I kind of gave up to be where I am now at 35, to be on a podcast, to be known as humbly as somebody who's consistent, who's about action, who delivers results. From 32 to 35, I gave up much how I did it of my life from 19 to 22. So there are time periods of your life where you can mentally prepare yourself before you even do anything to say, okay, I have to give up this time period for me to achieve or to maybe achieve something big down the line. So delayed gratification, preparing yourself mentally to sacrifice yourself for some long-term goals, it's what literally has gotten me on the podcast today and has gotten me on many other platforms. I'm going to be at the All Black National Convention with Dr. Voice Watkins and the crew at the end of September. Hopefully you can come through there, Steve.
Yeah, yes, but definitely.
I gave up years. I literally gave up years mentally and the past few years have actually sucked a lot of times. It literally freaking stunk where I went out once every 2 weeks where I didn't have much of a life, but I did it to be able to be here to deliver a positive message of somebody who delivers results. And if I didn't give up that time period, I wouldn't be here right now.
Wow. That's reality, my brother. That's reality. That's cold-hearted, you know, and that's the ugly part of it, right? That's the part that, you know, nobody wants to face, nobody wants to accept, But that's the reality, you know, and that's often the part that people leave out in the book. They don't tell you that part. You know, when they're trying to people trying to sell you something, they just tell you about the pretty decorations on the package. But they don't tell you that, you know, when I hand you a rose, it smells good. It's beautiful, but it has thorns. We don't tell them that it has thorns, right? You won't tell them that. But a rose comes with thorns. So thank you, my brother. I appreciate it, man. You are definitely a great inspiration to me, a great mentor to me, and I appreciate you coming. And we will do this again many, many more times.
It was fun, good brother, man. Much success to you, to your clothing line, to your podcast, and I want to interview you next.
Yeah. Okay, you got it, my brother. You got it. You got it.
I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. You got it. Now, before I sign off, I would like to give my props to my hosts, to the host of the of Financial Intelligence, and that would be Miss Beverly Black of Tribe Family Channel. So please check that out. Check out tribefamilychannel.com. Don't forget that. The gracious our gracious sponsor, as well as Mr. Bruce George of geniusiscommon.com. That's Mr. Bruce George of geniusiscommon.com. Please check that out. Add that to your repertoire. Upload a video of exhibiting your genius. If you go to genius.com, you'll see what's going on there. It's shocking. It's incredible. It's wonderful. And I would like to let you know that if you want more information or you need more guidance, suggestions, advice, you can also contact me at powertax.com. That's powertax with two X's, .com. Thank you very much for being here. Look forward to building, continuing to build. And remember, if you study for 10 minutes, you better be busy for 90. This is Stephen Hutchinson of Financial Intelligence, your host, signing off. Thank you very much. One love. People can't